Well, good afternoon. Today I'm kind of going to talk about a program that we put on back in Kansas a year ago. And this program, I'm the one presenting, but it's not really, this was really a collaborative effort with our county agents. And so I'm just being the mouthpiece for the agents who actually did a lot of the work in putting this program together. And a lot of the idea behind this program, it came about because when we talk of cover crop, predominantly in Southwest Kansas, you get diverse type. The perspective tend to be very different when versus researchers versus public in terms of NRCS versus the private versus what the farmers are saying. So we decided how could we come together and really have a discussion around cover crops so we can actually be all saying the same thing or kind of get a better understanding. So I like to say everything, it's always about the perspective. Because according to Marcus Aurelius, he says, everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is perspective, not the truth. Or as an unknown says, I've learned that two people can look at the exact same thing and see something totally different. And that's kind of what we figured we're seeing with cover crops in Southwest Kansas. You talk to one farmer, he tells you it works. Another farmer tells you it wastes. If you talk about it, he says you're wasting his time. So we've tried to put this meeting together to kind of get to that perspective. I kind of like this kind of was inspiring me starting this, is this African proverb that says, until the lions learn how to write, the narrative will always glorify the hunter. And a lot of times we focus on one side, and so a big part of this cover crop roadshow is we want to hear from the farmers. What's their perspective? And then at the same time, we want the researchers right there, their perspective. The industry guy right there, his perspective. So it's getting everybody at the same place, the farmer right there in his field with his practice telling us about it. So at that point, everybody's at the same place and we could really have a good discussion. So that's kind of the idea there. So a lot of times the way I see it with farmers predominantly is, and for us, a lot of difference is the perspective as I mentioned earlier. So I start with this, where has observation gone? Because the farmers tend to come from an observational perspective. A lot of times they come to you and says, I observe this. For us, we're going to say, where's the data? But we got a lot of it. Newton's first discovery of gravity was an observation. So science actually starts at the observational level. So that's the real empirical level where most science starts. As Einstein says, God does not care about our mathematical difficulties. It integrates empiricals. And so the farmers are at that basic level. Sometimes we kind of ignore that those observation is what we take and do the research, take it later, turn it into experiments, later turn it into mathematical formulas, and that becomes laws or becomes the common practice. But we tend to ignore that observational set that those farmers bring. Rosalind Franklin says it even better. She said, science for me gives a partial explanation for life. Insofar as it goes, it's based on facts, experience, and experiment. So that's when you're putting all the pieces together. And that's what we're really after, is to want to take those observations we get from those farmers, how do we move it further? So a question I ask there in looking at it is, how do we do that? A lot of times is, what are we measuring versus what are we after? And I've realized in extension, that's really a big challenge for us. And so way back in Missouri, I got this talk teaching me about evaluating extension program, and they gave me this ladder, and it's called the evaluation ladder. And here, and you have these different steps. You got the awareness, attitude change, knowledge change. A lot of our programs, we tend to evaluate at the knowledge change level. We tend to, most times we want to know, was there a knowledge change? But I like to call that the lot syndrome. Or better, kind of like what a Chinese proverb says, to know and not to do is not to know. So a lot of times, it's the same, we give the farmers a lot of information. They know it, but they don't really do it. So it's kind of like still not knowing it. And so, but we tend to focus on that level. We measure, a lot of times our evaluation is always, did they know? But what we're really after is behavioral change. That's really what we're after. And now it's not just behavioral change, but we're after community change. We want to see this practice being done. We want to see them actually doing it. That's the real thing we're after. So the question is, how do we measure that? And how we integrate that into our program. So that was also a part of our program when we were planning this cover crop roadshow. How can we measure if there is any behavioral change? And so that's something we were trying to figure out. So how do we put this together and what was our purpose? Again, it was trying to get all sides of the story. That's our main objective. We wanted all sides of the story. So we wanted to create a dialogue among all the parties. We want to learn from each other. We also want to expose ourselves to different perspectives. That's one of the things. As well as when you start getting that exposure, it inspires you. So we wanted to be inspired. And one good thing that came from this time when we visit with these farmers, we actually developed a research project that we later put a proposal together, and now we've got a CIG grant to actually evaluate some of the things we learned from these farmers. So our methods, we had three stops. There were three stops, three farmers, and we selected these farmers specifically. One had over two decades of experience growing cover crops. The other guy, he was just a grazing system, just a traditional grazing system. And the third farmer was a much younger farmer with a lot of enthusiasm just getting into cover crops. So we really strategically selected these farmers for that we could have different discussion around their interest and their in terms of cover crops. And what we kind of have a program where we had the farmers answering questions, different, and we had different people sit there. It never really went that way, because once the discussion started, and my job now was just to make sure that we operated on time so we could get to each stop, and we didn't take the whole day. And so that was but just having the program was just mainly having that plan ahead actually give us something to follow, but it was mainly such an active discussion, an engaging discussion between the farmers, researchers, as well as the private seeds guys that were there, and it was really such an engaging experience. But at the end, what we looked at was three questions. So we had three exit questions for participants. One is what we're focused on. The first question, was this thing valuable? Was there any value in you coming here? The second thing we asked, was the information you gained any use to you? Was it useful? And then we thought about how we really try to focus on that behavioral change. So we asked the question, what information from this program would you tell your neighbor and your friend? And what we were thinking of there is, if you're going to tell your friend, that means you have to internalize it. You had to think about it to say, what am I going to tell somebody about it? So we feel that kind of gives us a measurement in terms of there is a potential for a behavioral change. So this is our first stop, which at Bretay's, and he planted triticale early September. At this point, we hadn't had rain last year. We hadn't had rain since, I think it was July. So there was no rain. So it was really, really dry. And so that's our Dale Yonker, which is NRCS soil health specialist, and he was discussing and talking to the producers, and we just had a real engaging discussion. His system, he had a mixed cover crops. He has a mixed system with a lot of diverse cover crops in there. He also had just triticale by itself. So he had a many different systems that we were able to discuss around there. Our second stop was with a farmer. He just grows triticale by itself, and he grazes it, and he had a really unique story because he decided to move in this direction because he went bankrupt, and he decided, how can I make money? And he decided to start just growing triticale and grazing it, and that really got him out of the red, so he had a really interesting story to share and give us a really good insight on that. And our third farmer, he talks about, we learned here he was doing many different things. He had triticale radish mix, but what we found, he was doing this wheat radish mix. And this is with his cash crop, and he puts radishes in it. And we were like, and he started to tell us he's getting 3 bushel increase in his wheat. And we were like, oh, never seen that before. This is totally new. But we became so curious about that, so later on we actually decided we wanted to study and find out, is this really real? Does he really put in this radish and really seeing that increase in his weight, as he's claiming? So that's where we put a proposal together with CIG, and now we're trying to identify what does these radish really add to the system. And so we're working on that. Hopefully we'll have some data to see exactly what these radishes are adding to the system. So our exit survey that looks at the first is the value of the program. We found that 90% of the participants, we had over 45 farmers that attended the field, the tour. It's like you had a caravan, because we didn't have a bus, everybody had to drive. So it was a caravan taking off in western Kansas, just driving around. 90% of the participants indicated that the program was very valuable. In terms, 90% also said the information provided was very useful. But when we asked them what they would tell their neighbors, some of the predominant that were common reported was that they talk about the benefits of cover crops, the usage of cover crop with cattle, and they talk about testing it on your farm. Do it for yourself. Don't just listen to your neighbor or follow what your neighbor says. You got to test it for yourself. That was really one of the most common comments that they said, is that's what they'll tell their neighbors. Test it for yourself. And so that we find that pretty interesting. So the next thing is, what did we learn? What did we learn from this experience? So in terms of what we're saying, what are producers actually saying about cover crops? What are they saying about it? One, they says cover crop seed should not cost more than $12 to $15 an acre. That's what they're saying. We're not going to put cover crop out for if it's more than $15 an acre. The second thing they says, they're not interested in putting legumes in their cover crop mix. They says it's cheaper to buy nitrogen than to include the legumes. Because most times they put the legume, it doesn't even grow from what we've seen and they've talked about in western Kansas. So they're saying that we're not interested in a legume in our mix. We're more interested, as the final says, they're growing carbon. That's what they're focused on. So they're really not that interested in a legume in the mix. And they believe you got to graze it. If you have a cover crop, grazing is essential with that cover crop. So that's what the farmers were telling us. These are the things that they found to be really important to get it to work. Now, another thing they said to us is using more of a flex system. They want you, if you have the moisture, then you plant. If it's dry, you don't. They talked about planting cover crop immediately after wheat stubble, not after sorghum stubble. They had a lot of systems that they had worked out and are using cover crops, which for us, the ones that had it working had a system going that they are already working on to get it to work for them. And so that was really interesting for us to start to learn that and learn that some guys actually make it work because they have made a lot of adjustments. So some of the feedbacks we got from producers was, I want to thank K-State for their insights in having this tour. It was a good program, excellent job of organizing this program. So the farmers really enjoyed it. They felt they got a lot from it, not just farmers, but even us as researchers and the people that announced the seed guys, they all felt they got a lot out of this program. So my take home, goals are often the same, but we often differ in method, approach, and language. And that's kind of what we found out, is that one farmer may be saying something else, but it's just that he's saying the same thing, just a different way. And so once we come together, same thing with researchers, once we come together and we start defining what we're talking about, we start realizing that our goals are pretty much the same and we actually want the same things. And so this discussion or this tour, it brought a lot of clarity. A lot of clarity to both for us as researchers, as well as to the producers, as well as the industry seed guys. And so with that, I finish with Arthur Miller's quote that says, "The apple cannot be stuck back on the tree of knowledge. Once we begin to see, we're doomed and challenged to seek the strength to see more, not less." And so this type of program actually starts pushing us to really move a lot, to do things based on what, from the farmer's perspective, always trying to gain their perspective and develop programs that more fit with their perspective and what they're looking at. And so with that, I want to thank all who were involved. A lot of people make this possible, the farmers, a lot of our researchers on campus that were there, brought their expertise, and any questions? Okay. Thank you.